Hey, what's going on, guys? Savaris here. Welcome back to the channel. And if you're new, thank you for subscribing. I'm saying that in advance because I'm hoping you're going to enjoy the video. I'm hoping you're going to like and comment and do all those things. But I have a very quick episode for you guys that I really want to talk about because I feel as though a lot of people are getting into relationships that started off good, but it ended up failing because of their environment, you know, or the reason why some people are single. You know, they believe they're waiting on God, but truth be told, the reason why they're single is because of the type of friends that they have. Or the reasons why they can't find a healthy relationship is because of the type of friends that have, you know, unfortunately corrupted their environment. So I have a very, it could be a very long list, but I only want to mention five type of friends that you must avoid. Because the Bible mentions in Proverbs 13 and 20, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. You know, the King James Version says, a companion of fools will be destroyed. And I think that's very needed for us to grasp in the church today because there are a lot of people who we think that the friends that we keep don't impact our walk with God. But I believe that the people that you're surrounded by, not only do they determine the destiny that you walk into, but they also determine the type of relationships that you walk into because they're influencing you whether you believe it or not. So these are five people that I believe that you genuinely have to avoid if you want a good relationship. Number one, avoid the friend that can't keep a man. Avoid the person that can't keep a woman in their life. And I'm not talking about, you know, they've had a bad circumstance, you know, and sometimes things just don't work out. No, I mean, they just can't keep a man. You know, the people who can't keep a job, who they're always from job to job to job to job. And it's just like, come on, bro. How are you giving me advice and you can't keep a man? Like, I don't understand why we keep taking advice from people who have not done the things that we're hoping to achieve. You're desiring a healthy marriage. You're desiring to look back one day and say, I've been married for 30 years. I've been married for 40 years. Oh, I have a godly marriage. But yet you're listening to friends who've been breaking up and getting back together, breaking up and getting back together, dating somebody in different countries and they're hiding relationships. How are we taking advice from those people? Like, let's be honest, that doesn't even make any sense. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So you knew what it was to have a healthy relationship, but then you allowed bad company in your life. You knew what it meant to have, at least you desired healthy relationships, and now that's not even at the forefront of your mind because of the type of friends that you've been engaging with. So it's very important that we understand that. Yes, I believe that people change, but you're now on your fifth wife. Bro, you probably learned from it. You know, maybe it was always your fault and you got some great life lessons, but I don't want to be married five times. I want to know, how do I learn from the man who's been loving and serving his wife properly, you know, rather than the guy who's on his fourth or fifth wife? I told this story when I was speaking at a church recently. You know, guys, we've been blessed to speak at a couple of churches recently. That's why our schedules have been even more swamped than it has been before. And if you're one of those people who want to speak at your church, shoot us an email. We'll be willing. Just hopefully the dates work out. But we'd love to speak at your church or online events whenever that comes up. But I told a story and they probably thought I was joking, but I was very serious. There was a young lady on social media, you know, that I followed, and, you know, godly woman, you know, I don't know her personally, but, you know, just familiar with her. But I remember she posted this guy she was dating. She comments in the caption, oh, he's the love of my life. Unfortunately, things don't always work out, you know, and, you know, some weeks, a couple months later, whatever, she posted, oh, love of my life with a new guy. So now we're on either the third or the fourth guy. I believe it was the fourth guy, all in one calendar year. And now, thankfully, she is married to this guy, but guess what she called him? The love of her life. Listen, I'm rooting for her. I hope her marriage is healthy. I hope it's strong. I hope it's producing good fruit. I hope she's pleasing God in that relationship. But you're on your fourth love of your life in a year. That's not the type of person that should be giving me advice. And I'm not saying, guys, only listen to godly dating because Tavares knows it all. No, Tavares is aiming to please God just like you are. But I want to make it clear, if people are not living that life you're aiming to live, or they're not walking after what you're walking after, you need to stop taking the advice from those types of people, or else you're going to end up in the same situations. And if they're in and out of relationships, don't you think that you will be?
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
The second friend is the bitter friend. Man, bitter people, it just drives me insane because it's like, yes, what happened to you may have not been your fault, but the healing is up to you. At some point, you have to be willing to heal. At some point, I have to take accountability and say, I'm going to forgive that person, even if they're not sorry for it. I'm going to release that baggage that I've been carrying. But the bitter friend, no, they just want to bring it over and add bitterness to your life. They want to drop, you know, their garbage on you like you're a landfill. Listen, we have to guard our heart. The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. The course that your life determines is weighing in from what's inside of your heart. So if I'm not feeding my heart with God's word, with, you know, healthy relationships, then chances are I'm going to allow the garbage that people have poured into me to create bitterness. And then that's going to skew my vision that I'll never be able to see what God has for me because I'm constantly viewing things from a broken lens. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:15, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Listen, bitterness starts as a root. So you don't know why you self-sabotage 20 years from now. Maybe there was a root placed inside of you when you were four, when you went through the abuse. You don't know why the relationships, you're on your third marriage. You don't know why that person left you. You don't know why you're ready to leave that person. Maybe it's a lot of bitterness that took root inside of you over something someone has said over you. You know, if your friends are with this mentality, she's telling you all men are dogs, all men cheat, all men do this, all men do that. Sis, stop listening to her. If he's telling you, oh, all women want is your money, all women are going to mistreat you, all women going to take you for granted. Listen, when you're listening to these types of people, they're placing bitterness and resentment in your heart against the opposite sex, and you don't even know it. So these people who are always on social media and they're, you know, we don't realize why our hearts are so overwhelmed. It's because bitterness is contagious. And if you allow this stuff to feed into your spirit, eventually is going to stop you from viewing love from a biblical point of view, and you're going to view it from a broken point of view. And we see it in the scriptures, whereas thankfully, you know, it didn't backfire on her. But when Ruth was, you know, going through her season of brokenness, we see Naomi is now so bitter. Call me Mara, but, you know, my life, woe is me. That's the type of mentality she's taking. But Ruth is like, no, I'll follow you wherever you go. Your God is going to be my God. Ruth still had the right mindset. So thankfully, she was able to meet Boaz, and, you know, Naomi was able to help her get in position to make that happen. But that's when a bitterness person gets healed, or when a bitter person starts to mature. Because if you allow a bitter friend to speak into your life before they heal, they'll eventually cause you to be broken, or they'll eventually encourage you to stay broken because you're feeding their ego. Bitter people hate healed people. That's why they want you to be bitter with them, because they only can relate out of dysfunction. They can only relate out of brokenness. They can only relate out of a place of hurting. So you have to ignore someone who's speaking from a lens of their own trauma. If you're listening to people who are speaking out of their trauma, they will never lead you into God's will. They'll always cause you to resent people, hate others, walk in bitterness, walk in unforgiveness. And Jesus already told us, if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father won't even forgive you. So why are we expecting, oh God, I can't wait to get to heaven, and you're bitter against the entire world? You're bitter against that person who left you? Yes, they left you and it wasn't fair, but are you going to allow bitterness to cripple you? And if you allow that person who refuses to heal to speak into your life, you're going to walk in that same cycle. Number three, you guys should have known that I had gone here. The friend that you must avoid is the flirty and the sexually immoral friends. And bear in mind, truth be told, this could even be your friends in the church. So let's also keep that in mind. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs 25:28, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls, meaning anybody can go in and do whatever they want. You have no boundaries. You're allowing yourself to walk in any type of perversion. You're allowing yourself to be drawn astray by any type of issue. So we see that this means that we, when we have those people around us who invite all kind of immorality into their life, all kind of pornography into their life, all kind of perversion, all kind of, you know, spiritual darkness into their life, eventually you're going to be comfortable with it too. Because if you don't draw the line, eventually you're going to start entertaining the things that you are watching. You're going to start, oh, okay, well, that's just them, you know? So initially that's how I start off. That's them. I'm not going to engage in that. But eventually now you're curious. And after curiosity kicks in, now you're going to be partaking in it. You know, so we have to be careful that we're not walking around friends that are encouraging us to cheat. Hanging around friends that you see that they're cheating in their marriages. You see that they're cheating in their relationships. You see they're flirting with everyone in the church. You see they're flirting around with everybody at the gym. You see them doing all kinds of things where it's just like, that's not the type of character I want. But eventually, you keep hanging out with him. You keep hanging out with her. You might develop those same habits. So we have to guard ourselves, because if you want a relationship that doesn't walk in sexual immorality, you cannot invite yourself with people who walk in that type of wickedness. When the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:22 to flee youthful lust, it says to also pursue after the Lord and the things of God with those calling on the Lord out of a pure heart, which means if they are walking in a state of purity, then that is going to encourage us to walk in a state of purity. But if you're walking, you think you're seeking after God, but you're hanging around people who are not, eventually that might cause you to stumble. We see in 2 Samuel 13 that Amnon had a sister by the name of Tamar who he was attracted to, and he had an unhealthy connection, unhealthy desire for her. But the Bible tells us that he had a friend who was very cunning, you know, carnal, and eventually that's not a good combination. And he listened to his friend and it ended up assaulting his sister. So we see that even in the scriptures, the Bible shows us that he knew he had a desire he shouldn't act on, but he had a friend who encouraged him to do so. So we have to be careful of the type of friends that we engage with, because the type of friends you engage with are going to either push you closer towards God or further away from him. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, when you get into a relationship, a lot of people think that it just becomes easy because you both love God. But what I'm learning is that it's absolutely necessary that both of you work on yourselves individually in order to get to that place whole, because it's not two halves. It's both of you stepping into a relationship whole, and that way you're not bringing trauma or necessary baggage onto your spouse or a person you're currently in a relationship with. Now, if you're a person who's struggling with past issues, trauma, baggage, whatever it is, abuse that you may have gone through, I think therapy is a great place to start. Especially if you don't know someone close to you, you know, that you can speak to about these things. And if you're thinking about trying therapy, I would recommend BetterHelp, because it's entirely online, is designed to be convenient, flexible, and allows you to do things on your own schedule. It allows you to fill out a brief questionnaire, and that way they pair you to the right therapist. And if you are not connected with that person well enough, you can always switch. Become your own soulmate. Work on your own self, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/godly to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/godly. The fourth friend that you have to avoid are the fake spiritual friends. Let's just call it what it is, because we think going to church means that's the type of person we need to be friends with. We think because we see them in the house of God, we have to, that can, they're good enough to be our accountability partner. We think that just because they have a minister's license or you've seen them on the pulpit, that all of a sudden, you know, they're good. Or even people who don't go to church, but they claim, oh, I don't need to go to church. I am the church. Yeah, which is true. But the fact that you're saying you don't need to go to church, I don't really know how much you read your Bible, because we're a community. You don't engage with anybody. But, you know, those people who, you know, I ain't really Christian. You know, I don't do that religion, but I'm spiritual. Listen, bro. You cannot be religion. The people like to say, I'm not in a religion, I'm in a relationship. No, that relationship is a religion. They're like, I don't know if people just don't understand what religion means, you know, because it has a negative connotation in today's time. But understand that if we decide we're going to attend church, or we're going to put on our suit and tie, we're going to be all buttoned up, but then not live for God, listen, that's not the friends that you should be listening to, because their life's a mess. The Bible tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So why am I listening to somebody who's saved on Sunday, saved on Wednesday, or whenever the midweek service is, But they twerking it up the rest of the weekend. Hey, bro, let's go get lit, bro. There's some girls at this party. Let's go slide. Yeah, man, that would be fun. But you see, I'm on a different wavelength now. Because if I keep engaging in that, I know I'm going to be feeding my flesh. And I know it may not end well because we might be laying hands. And we might not be laying hands in prayer. We might be laying hands on other stuff that, you know, other hind parts that aren't, you know, our spouses. You know, so it's like we have to stop engaging with people who pretend to be spiritual when in reality they don't really have a walk with God. And it's not judging it. It's what the Bible tells us. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. So Paul made it clear to Timothy, listen, man, times are going to get hard. So people were already living that way 2,000 years ago. Y'all can only imagine how wicked some of us, some things that we've been seeing in our communities nowadays, you know. So it's very important that you don't associate with people who just, oh, I'm spiritual, oh, I'm Christian. Nah, you want, I need that Proverbs 31 or man of God or whatever to leave not just your bio and be inside of our hearts. Bible says to write it upon the tablets of our hearts. We need the word of God stamped on our hearts, you know, because it's important that we're not just acting the part or looking the part, but we want to actually live this and actually be in a relationship with Jesus. Now, the fifth type of friend that you need to avoid is the friend who doesn't correct you. A lot of people that I've connected with, like when you listen to immature people, you realize that a lot of people think correction is judgment. A lot of people think correction is hatred. The Bible says if God loves you, he chastens you, he corrects you, he disciplines you, or, you know, he rebukes you. Whatever it is, God is not going to leave you in your mess. So if you think somebody's your friend because everything you do, they co-signed, that person doesn't really love you because they're just trying to keep you happy. They're not trying to get you into God's will. So if I'm associating with someone who they see me disrespecting my wife, or you may be dating or single, they see you disrespecting the opposite sex and they're not willing to check you like, hey, bro, don't talk to that woman like that. Hey, sis, that's not how you should respect your man. You know what I mean? If they're not willing to say that, how could you have a healthy relationship? We have to stop avoiding people who challenge us. We need that type of correction. You need somebody who loves you enough to help you be who God has called you to be. Don't just run away or say, oh, y'all hating on me, you know, waiting on pastor to preach a message on haters. Like, come on, man. You know, we have to be willing to deal with people and desire and pray for God to send people in our lives that won't enable our dysfunction. God, please send people in my life that doesn't allow me to continue to go the wrong way. Send roadblocks. I believe that's what my pastor used to call it. Like, if somebody's on their way to hell, I have to be the roadblock. They have to get past me because I'm always going to be trying to win them to God. So that's what we should desire in our friendships. We should desire, God, send those people who are roadblocks that when they see me acting out of character, when they see me in perversion, when they see me in anger, when they see me in pride, when they see me in doubt and insecurities, they're willing to come to me and let me know, like, you're better than that. Literally, a guy at the gym today, he said, every time I compliment you, bro, every time I say something good about what you're doing with your business, every time I say anything about where God is going to do in your life, this is how he's talking to me. Like, bro, it's 8 a.m. He's just like, every time I say something, you always just like, nah, no big deal. He said, stop doing that because you're speaking negative over your mind. You know, and I said, you know what? I'm always joking when I'm doing that, but you're right. Now imagine we don't have those friends who are able to say, stop looking down on yourself. Or you don't have that friend that says, bro, you could be doing better. You know what I mean? We have to desire people in our lives that is able to challenge us. And if those people are in your circle and they never correct you, God didn't send them. That's how the enemy works. When God wants to bless you, he places the right people in your life to help lead you closer towards him. And when the enemy wants to distract you, he sends people in your life that's going to encourage you to walk in nonsense. That's going to encourage you to further stray away from God's plan. So it's super important that we pay attention to the friends that we engage with in our life. And a couple honorable mentions that I wanted to say, avoid those people who are always saying what men are supposed to do, what women are supposed to do. A lot of times those people are speaking from insecurities. They're speaking from trauma. And they're speaking, you know, those social media channels who are always like, oh, I want a traditional wife. Bro, you're not a traditional man. I want a wife who stays home and cooks and cleans. Yeah, so you could go outside and go cheat. Like, come on, man. Like, we need to get away from those people who are always, oh, you know, gender roles and X, Y, Z. As long as you guys are honoring the scripture, as long as you're honoring one another, don't listen to those other people telling you nonsense. And another honorable mention, I just want to mention that angry friend. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:24-25, don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. So the Bible's clear. All those little hotheads that you might have in your circle, you might need to avoid them, man. But thank you guys for rocking with me. Comment below on some of the topics, some of the type of friends that you realize are negative to the future that you desire to have or are not helpful to the relationships that you want to have in the future. You know, so comment below some that I left out. I know I could have made an entire list. I only want to talk about five. And for those of you who need a book that'll help you on having the right relationships, whether it's friends or dating, check out Godly Dating 101, a book my wife and I released a couple years ago. And I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you and your church. And I'll see you guys again soon. This is not going to be every Thursday anymore. This is just going to be when God leads me. I'm going to record and I'm going to upload. Love y'all. Peace.